Recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Extraordinary GNSO Council meeting on Tuesday, 12th of June, 2018. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you ever so much. Pam Little.
Here.
Thank you. Donna Austin.
Here.
Ruben School.
Here.
Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sudwell.
Here.
Michaeli Nalem.
Here.
No, Carlos Gutierrez, I see you're in the Adobe Connect room. Carlos will only stay connected for a short amount of time, so he's also given his proxy to Michaeli Nalem once he disconnects. Marie Petullo has sent her apology. She's given her proxy to Susan Calabucci. Susan Calabucci?
Here.
Paul McGrady?
Here.
Philippe Foucault?
Here.
Rafik Damak? Rafik, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you.
I'm here, sorry.
Perfect, thank you, Rafik. Stéphanie Perrin?
Here.
Perfect, thank you, Stéphanie. Arsène Tsangali has sent his apology, and he's given his proxy to Martin Silva-Valens. Heather Forrest?
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Harris?
Here.
Tatiana Tropina has sent her apology, and she's given her proxy to Rafik Tamak. Martin Silva-Valens?
Here.
Aidan Fedelin?
Here.
Thank you. Syed Ismail Shah?
Here.
Sarah Langdonall?
Present, Natalie.
Thank you. And Adebiyi Oladipo, our new CCNSO liaison. Adebiyi, I see you in the Adobe Connect room. We're going to reach out to you privately to ensure you have an audio connection for the rest of the call. Erica Mann? Erica said she might have issues speaking, but she has been noted to be in the Adobe Connect room. And your calling is?
Here.
Thank you. From staff, we have David Olive, Marika Koenigs, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Caitlin Turbigan, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Ariel Liang, Terry Agnew, Mike Brennan for technical support, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you, Heather, and it's over to you.
Natalie, thank you very much. And thanks very much to everyone for their willingness to attend. What we have in front of us today is an extraordinary GNSO Council meeting. And the sole purpose of the extraordinary meeting, as you can see from the very limited agenda in front of you, is to discuss next steps in relation to the temporary specification. We have dispensed with all of the other usual formalities in relation to action items and the projects list, but I would like to just stop and take a very quick opportunity to welcome our new liaison from the CCNSO, and hopefully we'll have the audio sorted out for you, Adebiyi, in no time. But this is your first council meeting. It's an extraordinary one. Ordinarily, we only meet once a month, but we're delighted to have you and appreciate any input you can give. So thank you very much. Excellent. So with that, we have the one item on the agenda, which is the opportunity to discuss next steps. So Donna, Rafik, and I put together a letter to Shireen and his board colleagues soon after our call with the board. That letter went out on the 8th of June, following up on the questions that were outstanding from that call with the board, and replies were received in two batches. The first batch went to the list a few hours ago today, and the second was that follow-up on number 9, which is the linking of other ICANN policies, the mapping of other ICANN policies. And Pam, in particular, thank you for pushing to make sure that we sent out those reminders. And then, Pam, you've commented on the mapping exercise, so that's very helpful. What I think we might usefully do is just have an opportunity to discuss those responses that came in from the board. And staff have all sorts of documents sitting in the background here to help us with this. I think it might be helpful if we start off with that reply that was received from Shireen via David, and thank you to David, who's on the call, for getting that to us as quickly as possible. Marika, are we able to show those responses from the board in the ACPON?
Yes, this is Marika. Give me one second.
Thank you. Great. So you see here, this was a comparison. Marika did some fantastic notes on the day, and I also had made some stars and scribbles next to things, and we'd made some comments in the chat to make sure we came back to these points. And I understand that for those of you who aren't in the APAC time zone, it hasn't been daytime for you. You're just waking up and perhaps seeing these for the first time. So I thought it might be useful if we needed to follow up on any of these points, then we might just go quickly through the answers here, or not necessarily quickly, but we could go through the answers here, take an opportunity to capture any further responses that we might need and get onto that as quickly as we can. So in relation to that, you notice that the questions that we asked, there were several of them around scope. One of them, I think, was Rubens was, and I think, Rubens, you're with us on the call. Yes, Rubens. Rubens, one of them was your question number 5. The response that we've received here is that the board hasn't had enough time to consider this, but we'll come back to it. Rubens, anything you want to add to that point at this point in time? Not so far. Cool. Everybody's on a not so far on that one. All right. So we'll park that and keep a note of it. We'll keep a running list of these sorts of questions. Excellent. Anyone else want to comment on number 5? It was raised by Rubens, but floor is open for everyone. I think Rubens is right. There's probably not very much we can say on that at this point. All right, I see no hands. Then let's look at number 8. The temporary specification covers a number of additional policies that go beyond the RA and the RAA. How do the board believe that the council should handle these areas of overlap? I think that answer that we see there largely reflects what was said on the call. I don't think it really adds anything new. We said that we don't really experience this situation in a PDPA and spent some time discussing that on our call. What I understand from this response is that the board appears to be happy with being driven by council's approach to this. Does anyone have any questions, concerns on that point? No. Okay. All right, we'll park that one for now. Number 9, the list of policies and contractual clauses impacted by the temp spec. That was followed up in the subsequent email from David and Pam. You had an opportunity to have a look at that document. And Pam, I think we have in the background. Marika, do we have the marked up version from Pam by chance? Yeah, super. So, Pam, we've had the advantage in the APAC time zone of having had a little bit of time to look at this, and you were quick to respond, and I appreciate that. Any comments, any points that you'd like to highlight from your markup, Pam? And I think everyone can scroll that document in the pod, so feel free. Pam, over to you.
Hi, thanks, Heather. Pam Little speaking. Basically, I just went through the document quickly, so you can see my comments or markups, which is didn't appear to me wasn't in the mapping that was done by ICANN staff. But I want to say one thing is it appears to me that there are some requirements in the temporary specification and the approach taken by the staff who prepared that document seem to be based on if it's not in the current registry agreement or registrar accreditation agreement or a consensus policy, then the according to that mapping document, then there's no impact. I think that seems to be a problematic approach because that is obviously incorrect. Because it's an additional new requirements in addition to what's in the current agreements or policy, then there is impact. I think that's all I want to say, and you can feel free to skim through the document, have a look. Thanks.
Great, Pam. Thank you very much. I think Carlos might have had a little bit of trouble hearing you. Carlos, I turned the volume up a bit, but got Pam through. I like Ruben's comment in the chat there. So any comments? Again, I appreciate that folks in Europe and North America haven't really had an opportunity to see this at any great length. Not to say that APAC has all that much time on you. Michele, please.
Thanks, Michele, for the record. I mean, this is a helpful start, starting point, and then we can, I don't know whether Marika and her team or David and his team or who exactly, if they intend to kind of flesh it out further, but it is a good starting point. Because, I mean, this is going, what we've seen today, it seems to focus more on the contracts. I haven't seen much in there about the actual policies, but this is a good starting point. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. I'm pleased to have your voice on this too, because it was something that you spoke out on in relation to the call that we had with the board. And Marika is noting that any feedback can get shared, and yeah, and Marika and I both noted it was clearly communicated as this is a starting point, this is a beginning, and I think, I appreciate, even though it's not, let's say, a finalized document, I appreciate the fact that we have it in time for our call today. That would be helpful. So any further comments on this document? I see a few people typing. We just wait for Keith and Marika, just to make sure we don't miss anyone. So Marika's suggesting we send updates, and I think that would be helpful. Keith or Ruben, let's see, before we move on, just to make sure we don't cut your comments off. Keith has shared the mapping document, great, with the contract the parties have. And Keith, just to be very clear, I guess, so is there a sub-team that's working on this within the contracted parties? I haven't yet sent it to the IPC. Paul may have, but it's been over the night for Paul. I would assume we'll take these back to the full SGs and Cs. Keith?
Yes, thanks, Heather. This is Keith Drazik for the transcript. Just to answer your question, The contracted parties, registries, and registrars have had a subgroup focused on GDPR for many months now, and that group is sort of our point team working on these kinds of issues, and will continue to be involved in the discussions around the temp spec and whatever policy process we put in place. So I expect we'll get some good and constructive feedback out of that group, but I want to echo Michele's comments and others that this is a good starting point. We appreciate the work that went into it and look forward to further refining it. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. That's helpful. And I think, there's a number of us that are going to catch up sending this on to our respective stakeholder groups and constituencies. So I think that's super useful. So Rubens has made a very interesting point in the chat, which is a discussion item that was on our list with the board before we leave this document. We just make a note of it. The picket fence analysis. Rubens, do you want to specify there, let's say, what in particular would be helpful? I guess that's coming back to a certain degree, that comes back to your question number five, Rubens, but perhaps it goes a bit further than that. So I might ask for your thoughts on that, just so we all fully appreciate what it is that you're thinking. Rubens.
Thanks, Heather. Rubens, thank you for the transcript. My understanding of the call we had with the board is that ICANN work was going to provide us with their analysis of what is in the picket fence or not. That doesn't preclude us from taking a read at that and possibly suggesting some changes. But I thought they said they would already be doing that. So was my understanding wrong?
So, Rubens, at least in relation to your question, and actually, I think it might be helpful. Let's just check. Do we have any further comments on this, the mapping document? Because I think we could usefully go back to the questions if we don't. Michaeli, Rubens, do you mind terribly? Can we park your question just for a second so we get back to that questions document? Because I think that's probably what we need for that one.
Thanks, Heather. Just on this mapping thing, so we've, as Keith said, that's been circulated to the contracted parties. There are probably other people who might have other input on that. What's the best way to funnel that input? Should that be going directly to Marika? Should that be going to the council list? Is there a shared Google Doc or something? You know, what's the best way of channeling that? Thanks. I see Marika's putting in the chat that it's a council list. Okay, thanks, Marika.
Yeah, thanks, Marika. And I was rambling away on mute, so that's good. I think I was going to say to avoid a middleman, let's say, you know, we want to make sure that folks can give their input as soon as possible. I guess, you know, a quick way is to channel it through councillors and put it onto the council list. Paul.
Thanks, Paul McGrady. Good morning, everybody, or evening, wherever you are. Can I just ask a question about the purpose of this document? Is it binding in some way when we start talking about funneling comments in from our various constituencies? I guess I'm just trying to understand. Is this for, like, is it a reference document that people can have in their back pocket if necessary? Will it form a basis for what? And if so, what will it form a basis for? I guess I'm trying to understand, like, what's the level of, we should all be diligent, but what's the level of diligence that we should all be thinking about in relationship to this document? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Michaeli, I wonder, could I put you on the spot? I have an answer, sort of an idea in my head, but you pushed quite hard in our call with the board to have this, and I think if we could understand your rationale, that would be super helpful. So, Michaeli.
Thanks, Heather. Michaeli Threkwood. Okay, so the thing is this, that the temporary specification contains a bunch of language which we know impacts contractual clauses and consensus policy. one of the issues we've seen in the past with various changes to contracts and everything else is trying to understand and have a degree of certainty that, you know, a policy is impacted or not impacted, a part of a policy or a part of contractual clause. So the idea was, okay, this is your temporary specification. These are the policies it impacts on. These are the contractual clauses that it impacts on. Because the kind of situation that you don't want to have is where there's language in a contract that either doesn't oblige somebody to do something or obliges them to do something, and that is impacted, but there's no clarity that it is impacted. Sorry if I'm not being particularly clear and I keep saying impacting. I don't know, is that helpful, Heather?
Yeah, I think so, Michele. I'm going to turn it back to Paul, but say I think, you know, where this came up, Paul, in the context of the discussion with the board was around scoping and understanding, if you like, the outer limits of the scoping exercise. In other words, you know, how do we deal with what's in that temporary specification and how do we know how far it reaches and what the PVP then might have an impact on? That's a much higher level description than what Michele said, but that's the broad context in which the question was raised. Paul, does that help to answer your question?
Thanks, Paul McGray, for the record. Not really. I mean, we've talked again about what the document is meant to do, but my question really was what is the status of this document? Is it a handy reference? Is it something that we are going to use as the basis document for policy work around plugging some of these holes, and therefore it has a higher status than just your average thing we all put together? I guess I'm trying to understand, is it, you know, what's the level of reverence, I don't know how to say it, that the document will be given? I just, in ICANN land, you know, we could put together something and, you know, we could spend 5 years talking about the mapping document, and it could be a basic document that we would hold in reverence and, you know, roll out all kinds of work. If it's going to be that kind of document, then I'd like to know that. If it's going to be something that it's sort of we're all trying our best to put, you know, stuff in here, and if something gets overlooked by a constituency, it won't be held against them forever. Just would like to understand not what the document does, but what is the nature of the document. Thanks.
Yeah, understood, Paul. Thanks for the clarification. Donna.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. And just to respond to Paul's question, I think Keith has answered it in chat, and I certainly had a similar thinking about how to be used, but it's a reference that will help if it's the council that does set the scope for this PDP or EPDP, then it's a helpful reference document that will help us identify the possible scope. I think that, if we think about how we got it, it's in response to questions that the council asked of the board. We may disagree with some of the answers. We haven't had a chance to go through that, but I think, you know, from my perspective, my thinking is very similar to Keith and what Michele and Pam have, plus one in chat, is that, you know, this will help us in the certainly with the scoping exercise and the chartering for the PDP effort. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Donna. And Paul, the others will correct me if I'm mistaken here, but my interpretation of this was that it was guidance. It's guidance for the scoping effort. It's not an end-all, be-all document. I would really hate to see that something that's put together as a working document to inform a chartering team gets somehow used against anyone in the process. I just don't think that that's the intention of it. And hopefully I haven't said something completely wacky here. Multiple attendees are typing, so they either all disagree. Okay. Paul, with that clarified answer, is that helpful?
Thanks, Heather. Yes, it is.
Cool. Brilliant. Okay, so I have Rubens. I have not forgotten your question. On this mapping document, what I suggest that we do is this. So as has been proposed, questions that can get channeled through to counselors, you know, let's get feedback on this document in the easiest way possible. I don't want to set up an artificial middleman that then, you know, somehow impedes the process of collecting feedback. It's not that council's trying to be a gatekeeper or anything here. I think what we can do is if your comments can go through your counselors, great. And Marika's noted in the chat, and we'll say it clearly on audio. If anyone wants to send a comment through to Marika directly because that's the easiest thing to do, then let's do that. We'll collect feedback on this document. It will be used to inform the scoping team's efforts, and I think we have to be very, very careful with what we're referring to here. What we are referring to is the charter, the initiation and charter drafting team. That would be the next sort of work effort in this business, and we have a fantastic graphic from Marika to show exactly what that is. But for the moment, let's say, are we happy to leave this document and channel feedback and input to add to PAMS through those channels? I don't see anyone disagreeing. So that looks promising. All right. Marika, may we trouble you? Could you go back to that list of questions from the board, please, or responses from the board? Okay, cool. Thank you very much. So let's go back to Ruben's question. And Ruben, so you specifically asked who answers, who's expected to answer in relation to your comment and the picket fence point. And we have it clearly noted here, but I wanted to get back to this document. That's the answer here. The board hasn't had time to discuss it, but we'll provide some feedback. And I think at a regular interval we can follow up on that so that we don't lose sight of it. Is that satisfactory from your perspective, Rubens, that the board follows up on that at a later date? Rubens?
Thanks, Heather. I just need to make a distinction between two different topics that I think that can be lumped together. One is the matter of question 5, which is a question on whether the paint spec is addressed to the what should a paint spec be and at the time of contract signing. So that's a question of whether it fits the definition of a paint spec. A different question, which is it's the first question, is whether each specific provision is allowed under the picket fence to be discussed as a consensus policy. So although you are mentioning those two together, they are actually very different. My understanding is that the question of the picket fence, they mentioned that they would get to us sooner than the question on the temp spec specific temp spec allowance. So just to make a distinction of two different matters at hand. Thanks.
Thanks, Ruben, and I appreciate your it's true. You have a number of facets to the question that you raised. And as I've put in the chat, you know, to a certain degree, the board's response seems a bit odd in the sense of your first question, if you like, is this business of challenge? You know, is it validly designated a temporary spec, and is it open to challenge? And I would be very surprised if the board hasn't thought about that. I don't know, let's say, Rubens, to what extent we want, you know, to what extent do you want to push that point, let's say? I think if we want to pursue these questions in more detail, we need to separate them out and make them very clear that they are two questions. Rubens is typing and Eric is typing. And Erica, I know you're in a spot where you might not be able to speak, so we'll read into your read in your comments. Okay, everybody, stop typing. Any thoughts on this before we move forward? The question of challenge. Do we want to follow up and pursue a more detailed answer on this at this point in time? Okay, Erica wants to make a point. Erica, it might be easiest if you're not able to get, you know, back on and able to do that before the call ends. Absolutely fine. We'll make a note and we'll get your comments into the record. Yeah, fabulous. Thanks, Erica. Donna.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. So if I understand what Ruben's said correctly, and I'm sorry, Ruben, it was a little bit hard to hear you. Are you suggesting that there's two separate questions in this number five? And if that's the case, then we should actually, given the board hasn't responded to this one, we should actually go back and just clarify that, if nothing else. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. So Eric's going to follow up on the list. Ruben's is typing. Ruben's, are you happy with that, the approach proposed by Donna, that we just follow up, you know, split them and follow up? Yeah, and it's – okay, so Ruben's has said there's another question that's not in the list about what is in the picket fence or not. And that question was in our – broader list of questions, and what's interesting is we have to go back and look at those notes. It wasn't flagged specifically for follow-up. It might have gotten roped into another question inadvertently. So Rubens, I would say let's capture that and circle back and see what was in those previous responses and what we might want to do with that. Will that work, Ruben? Cool. Okay, good stuff. So that takes us through now in looking at number nine, the response number nine, we went off to the mapping document. That brings us back to number 11, which is forward looking. Ongoing discussions and pending court cases could have an impact on issues such as these, but the PDP on the temporary spec is not expected to deliberate on these issues unless these are reflected in modifications made by the ICANN board of the temporary specification. You know, at any opportunity, if I've been asked a question, I've tried to impress upon the board that changes made, the later that changes are made in the next 365 days, the harder they're going to be for the EPDP to deal with. And that's just a reality of time. It's not because we're being difficult. It's just the reality of the fact that if we're aiming for Barcelona for a preliminary report, that makes life very difficult. McKaylee.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just on this particular point, I know the answer that they've given is correct, but I think it's impractical. I mean, if they know that they're going to have to change the temporary policy, the temporary specification, because of the outcome of a court case, legal action, or whatever, we need to know that as soon as possible. Waiting for the formal update to the temporary specification is too late. So as soon as they know that that's going to impact it, we need to know, and that's it. I mean, there should be no delays. If they're going to delay that until the time that there's an updated version of the temporary spec, which I assume would be in line with the re-upping of the temporary spec, then, as you say, that's way too late. And this is the kind of issue we're facing at the moment, where, you know, the communication around some of this stuff is, the most diplomatic way I can phrase it is unhelpful. Contracted parties have asked ICANN about certain things in relation to court cases and other litigation, and we're just getting this ridiculous party line of, oh, we're just talking about the temporary spec as written, even though they probably are going to make changes based on that. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, McKaylee. That's noted, and you have a number of folks agreeing with you in the chat. I think, you know, this is an opportunity. There are things that we need to wait to receive from the board, and then there are things that we can be active on. So, you know, distinguish the passive from active. I think this is one where we say pretty affirmatively, look, to the extent that we're going to have this immediate contact through a liaison role or whatever it is, that's one of the ground rules of having that here is, you know, you want us to go down this path, then there needs to be instantaneous communication from that person, and that's going to be that person's really primary responsibility from our point of view. And I think to the extent that we, you know, yeah, we say that that's how it's going to be, rather than ask if that's okay, that's how it is, I suppose that's the way that we have to approach that. But I understand, Michele, your concerns. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. This is Marika, and not here speaking for the ICANN board, but how I somewhat this response to the question is more that, you know, the EPDP should not get distracted by speculating about, you know, what may happen as a result of pending court cases or ongoing discussions that are ongoing, but only factor those in, you know, if and when firm decisions have been made. And again, I think here it's reflected that may happen once changes are made to the temporary spec. But I think as noted as well, and I put it in the chat as well, to the next question, you know, the board anticipates and has indicated that, you know, they're looking for active engagement or communication with the council to ensure this more kind of direct communication in those kind of instances. So hopefully that, you know, will address the way of having timely communication if and when changes are anticipated as a result of either ongoing discussions or outcomes of court cases.
Yes, thanks, Marika. That's noted. And I noticed Donna's typing in the chat. And I think this is one that, again, in my mind, we want to be affirmative and go back and say as we're crafting that relationship between the PDP, the ongoing relationship between the PDP and the board, that needs to be, you know, a clearly articulated expectation that information comes down to us, that it's not just last minute. When the ink is dry. Paul.
Thanks. Paul McGrady here. Should we ask for something more formal, like instead of waiting for the last minute when a decision comes down, instead asking General Counsel's office to give the PDP rolling updates on, you know, any litigation, what the recent motions were, who won, who lost, where it's heading? You can't know the outcome of a court case before the outcome of a court case, but you can follow along and you can get good information along the way. So maybe it's just a matter of, you know, getting what we can get, which is frequent updates, and a chance to ask questions.
Yeah, Paul, I think that's helpful. I think the more specific we make that ask, the more chance we have of compliance, so to speak. So I think that's a point I've noted when we go to discussing the charter team in more detail. I think that's something that ought to be factored in, you know, along with those broader ideas around that ongoing communications link with the board. Excellent. So that gets us to the end of the questions on scope and the responses that we had for now to the board. We've noted some for further follow-up. We'll make a note of those and not lose them. Donna is typing. Any further comments in relation to the responses on scope? I don't see any hands. All right. So, Donna, go for it.
Sorry, hello, Donna Austin. I got it.
De persoon waarmee u belt heeft tijdelijk geen bereik. U kunt het zo dadelijk nogmaals proberen.
Okay, we all still here? No, Heather, I don't.
New language skills.
Look, I think, you know, we discussed what the purpose of these responses were earlier, and I think we've agreed that, you know, it will help in the framing of the scope and the charter. We don't necessarily have to agree with the responses. And I think in particularly in relation to 11 that, you know, any court case, while it may not while the board may not see it impacting the temporary specification, I think that the reality is that the contractor parties will be paying close attention to that, and it will be a point of discussion within the PDP once it gets kicked off. So, you know, I think we just need to be realistic and set expectations, and I think the PDP working group or whatever it is itself will be need to be pretty flexible, and I think that's understood. If it's not explicit, it's probably implicit. So, you know, these questions are helpful and it gives us an indication of where the board's mindset is, but I think we recognise that we may be have a different point of view on some of them, and that's okay too. I don't think there's any, given we're in uncharted territory or waters or whatever it is, I think let's all just be open-minded about going into this and how we deal with all of it. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Donna. Noted. So, any further comments in relation to scope? The answers we got back on scope. And Yulf is back. Welcome back, Yulf. All right, I see no further hands on scope. Let's just turn our attention to the response in relation to participation. We had started fleshing out some ideas in the chat, mainly. Some of them got brought up in the discussion with the call with the board on, you know, what were the board's expectations for its own ongoing participation. The board had raised with us questions about GAC participation and hadn't really said anything about themselves. And I think it's helpful here that the board is willing to have an ongoing link to the PDP. I think that needs to be, you know, an open communications channel for that to work as well as possible. Any comments or questions there? I mean, I think we've started to refine our thinking in relation to this in the earlier discussion on, you know, getting information as soon as possible. And I think it's in our hands to craft that, the role of the liaison there. I see no hands up on this one. All right. So that really brings us, having looked at these responses, that brings us up to present in terms of closing the loop between our last discussion and the follow-up that's happened since. Now, what staff has been working on in the background is a way to visualize what it is that we have in front of us in terms of next steps. And Marika put together a really fabulous mind map. Now, you know how, as wonderful as Adobe Connect is, it doesn't show the documents like these all that well. You've got to kind of move around a bit. So we love Adobe, but it's not going to be perfect for this. So bear with it. But I think what's particularly helpful about this document is that it shows things in sort of time order. We've started inherently with, and Natalie's posted the link for you as well if you'd rather look at it in the PDF format. So we've had a discussion now about board interaction. I think we've noted some questions that are still outstanding. We can continue, let's say, once we get into the scoping exercise, we can continue to seek responses from those and clarification from those from the board, bearing in mind Donna's last intervention, which is, you know, we are going to have a certain degree of flexibility. You know, I think we demand information as promptly as the board can get it to us, but knowing that, you know, there may be, even getting it as promptly to us, there may be something that's timed in a way that we don't want to. In terms of any further interaction needed or desirable, I think that's probably a given. But I would suggest that we think about now, is there anything that we need further now before we move to discussing in a substantive way the process, you know, what it is that we're about to do here? What is the vehicle for our next step? And specifically, I think we need to decide in principle before we go too much farther. You know, what we've done to now has been gearing up and an educational process, if you like. Much of our discussion has happened around ePDP because this is something that's new to us all. Is there, you know, to the question that Marika's put in the document, and I think it's worded, you know, extraordinarily crisply, is there any viable alternative to an EPDP? The EPDP seems to be made for this situation in that it has the flexibility in terms of procedures, and it's geared towards that 12-month timeline. But, you know, we haven't had a tremendous discussion here around all sorts of other options, and that suggests to me that we're leaning down the path of a PDP, but I think we want to make that clear to ourselves. You know, that can be a key outcome from this meeting, is that, you know, in principle, we understand where we're going. So turn it over to the floor. Does anyone have any suggestions for an alternative? And if so, now is the super time to raise it. Michele.
Thanks, Michele, for the record. I just to put on the record that I don't think there is an alternative because of the timeline constraints. Right.
Thanks, Michele. I think that's a pretty realistic comment. So what I understand from silence, and Michele's comment is not silence. What I understand from Michele's comment and the silence that has followed it is that there are not objections to undertaking an EPDP. There are not any clear alternatives to an EPDP. Paul.
Thanks, Paul McGrady. So I can think of no other options, and as there is no one's been able to identify other options, I suppose there can be no objection to the only option. But I do think that it's worth noting, at least from the IPC's point of view, that even a 12-month PDP is going to be woefully inadequate to the job because, as of a few weeks ago, we've had a rule change that makes it far easier for people to confuse consumers and far harder to find out who they are. And so I would like for us to, while we might acknowledge that this is our only option, that we might want to continue to infuse this thing with the sense of urgency that it deserves. Thanks.
Yes, thanks. So they're valuable comments, particularly the last one, let's say I'm going to capitalize on and say part of the reason why we've spent this much time, it doesn't feel like that much time, but we've been having this discussion since April, and I was really, you know, in the background to the leadership team and the staff saying, let's not rush into this, let's have the webinar, let's have the discussion with the board. I think the expectation was that we would jump on this in May and start a PDP, or there was hope that that's what would happen in our May council meeting. And as many times as I said it in the course of transition, I don't believe that it's prudent to rush into something. I'd rather know, you know, all of the parameters, know as much as we can before we get started. So I think, yeah, I in particular take to heart your comment about rushing. And I think, you know, to the comments in the chat, look, there are alternatives. One of the alternatives is just to run a normal PDP. That's not a viable or really a differentiated alternative, let's say. It's not, I don't think it's helpful. So Paul's comments taken on board. Anyone else with concerns about pursuing an EPDP as our response to filling the vacuum at the end of the temporary specification? Donna.
Thanks, Heather. So that contractor parties have had a conversation around some of these questions yesterday, and just to note that, you know, we're in agreement that the EPDP is the path forward. We do believe that because this is the first time the EPDP is going to be used, it's important that there's an agreed understanding of the process, and I think that's from a council perspective, but also for any working group that we put together, that the process is well understood, and I understand that, you know, we've certainly had that information provided to us, but We just need to be sure that there's a common understanding of what that is. And, you know, I know we don't want to get too much into the notion of whether we need one, two, or three PDPs, but, you know, there was also a conversation about if there is more than one, do they have to run to the same timetable? So that's a question maybe to Park, whether it's this call or whether it's later down the track. But that's I just wanted to make you aware of that discussion from yesterday. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Donna. So Aidan has asked in the chat, and Aidan, where on earth did your comment go? He disappeared. No, Paul's question, sorry. Deadline for getting comments back on the mapping document. I'm conscious of the fact that we're all going to be getting on planes at some point at the end of next week, probably. So I would suggest that we leave this. We not make this an immediate thing while that team that is working on the charter and initiation request is live. I would like to think that we could have feedback into it. So. Paul, for now, maybe we say while the charter initiation drafting process is happening, let's try and get the feedback in then. And that's not going to be immediate. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be done and dusted before we leave Panama. Aidan has asked a question. Aidan is seizing the opportunity. How are we going for time against the timeline shared some 3 weeks ago? Yeah, good question, Aidan. And I wonder, Marika, in your magic box of documents, do you, by any chance, have that timeline?
This is Marika. Let me just check. I did post a link in the chat, so if you click there and scroll to the end, you'll see the timeline. But I'll try to pull it up now as well.
No, that's all right, Marika. I think we can probably, you know what, Marika, let's do that. Let's pull it up. I was going to say we can have folks on two screens, but some folks might be in transit and not able to see.
Sorry, Heather, I'll need to upload it separately, so just give me 2 seconds.
No, that's fine, Marika, that's fine. I would put you on the spot. I appreciate you doing that. So in the meantime, while we're working on getting that up, in the document, the link that Marika has shared, you see the timeline. So, Aidan, to answer your question, our draft timeline saw preparatory discussions and working on the scoping and charter, the initiation request and the charter, was up to the end of Panama. So at present, Aidan, we're within the timeline. That suggests that we would be wound up by the end of Panama, which may not be realistic. But I, again, let's say to my response to Paul, I've been pretty hard on discussions with the leadership team and saying, I'd rather we know more in advance. Let's ask as many questions on the table now before we get into that drafting process and then sort of drag out the drafting process. So I'd like to say that time we invest in up front will pay us back in the back end, Aidan. So thanks very much, Marika. That's fabulous. So you see that first step one is where we are. The timeline is there in front of us. So drafting of the charter, again, overlaps, that's step three, overlaps with the time period that we have. And notionally, approval of the charter is down for the 27th of June. But again, I appreciate your comment there, Aidan. I would like to say that we have an opportunity, during the transition, much of the timeline wasn't in our control, and we responded sort of passively to it and constantly worked to deadlines and said, wish we had more time. Here we have an opportunity to control the timeline. We just need to be mindful of it. So, while we have the timeline up, Marika's been kind enough to put it up there for us. Any further questions on the timeline? Multiple attendees are typing. Yeah, Aiden, to your comment about ambitious to get a charter done in 2 weeks, we haven't, you know, one of the next things on the list is to talk about, you know, how we go about drafting a charter. And to the extent that we're having that discussion today, I agree with you. I think it's unrealistic. And Philippe's had a question on the mind map. So let's, before we turn back to that, Michele, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. Michele, I mean, I think there's a few dates in here which we've either missed or are going to miss, so we might need to update this draft timeline. I mean, we've had several meetings over the last few weeks. We seem to be in agreement now that we're definitely doing an EPDP, so that's something. But we really do need to be looking at actually moving this forward, because I am concerned that in terms of the amount of time we have left, every day is eating into us. Thanks.
Yeah, Michele, you make a very good point about the everyday. I'm acutely aware of that. So there are some comments about the mind map. Let's just make a final call before we switch back. Let's see, are there any further questions on the timeline? But I do think it would be helpful to go back to the mind map, because that will help to give us some context to the timeline. All right, I see no further questions on the timeline. Marika, thanks very much for pulling that up at short notice. If we could go back to the mind map, I think that would be brilliant. Okay, so with that in mind, we have, you know, largely worked our way through in this call the first point there, which is board interaction. At least we have what we have for now. The process to be used to the extent that it, so let's make this very clear in terms of an action item. There have been no objections to undertaking an EPDP. We understand that there are pretty serious time limitations around what we're about to do. We understand that the EPDP requires that we complete an initiation request and a charter, and that we are now embarking on that process. Is everyone comfortable for that to be communicated to the board? Or is anyone uncomfortable with that being communicated to the board? Multiple attendees are typing. We'll wait to see. Paul.
Thanks, Paul McGrady. I think we should say that there's been agreement in principle to an EPDP. We don't want to give the misimpression that, you know, this thing's launched and that it's underway.
Yeah, Paul, I think, you know, that's exactly the wording in my mind. That's great. And, yeah, Stephanie's made a good comment in the chat. Shireen's been, you know, very diligent in following our efforts. Sort of soon after a council meeting, I understand that, you know, he's reflected on what we've said. So I agree we should be articulating this as agreement in principle, and then we're moving on to the next step, which is developing the initiation request and the charter. With Paul's comment in mind about agreement in principle and having heard no objections, we will include that on the action items list from this call. And if we could make a note of that, staff, we don't really have a good pod to do it. Maybe at the bottom of the agenda pod, because that is a very clear action item that we need. I've captured it in my notes as well. Excellent. So on to the EPDP. The next step for us is how we go about putting together this team. Now, there's two teams. And interestingly enough, the EPDP documents all use the word team to refer to what we would call in a PDP working group. There's that team, the team that's actually going to do this, and then there's the team that is going to develop the charter and the initiation request. And the initiation request, remember what's largely different about an EPDP is the front end of it. It doesn't start with the staff doing an issues report and all this sort of thing. It starts with a request. That request then goes to legal to ensure that what is proposed is within scope, and then it comes to council for council's sign-off. So that would be the next, let's say, major, if you like, milestone for council. How do we want to go about composing? And that's cool, Steve. Thank you very much for noting that action item. I appreciate that. How do we want to go about composing this team that will develop the initiation request and the charter? I think we want to think about leadership, so this thing has some accountability on it, that someone's there to crack the stick and make sure everyone's on track, and we have the actual composition in on the team. So, Tatiana, welcome. And over to the floor. Your thoughts on who to join the charter initiation drafting. Should that be council? Do you have a clear sense of you know, your thoughts on leadership of that? How do we want to do this? Sana.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. So from a registry perspective, I think we're in agreement that this is something that could reasonably sit with the council to do, whether that's the council as a whole or a subset of council volunteers. We'd be happy for that to go either way, you know, with the understanding that this wouldn't necessarily exclude non-councillors from instructing the councillors, but it would be a working group or of the council. It wouldn't be outside of that. So I think that's our thinking on this, you know, the composition of this group. Thanks. We didn't, and Heather, we didn't discuss the leadership, so we it's not something that we formed a view on. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Donna. And just to clarify, because you have a few plus ones in there, so council members, let's say we are 21, but we have some liaisons and so on. Can you clarify, did the contracted parties have to talk about that?
Donna Austin, Heather, we didn't make that distinction or have that conversation, but I will need my fellow councillors to back me on this. But, you know, if you're appointed to the council, then I think you are considered to be a council member, so that would fall within the bounds of, you know, current councillor, regardless of whether you're a NomCom appointee or appointed by SGLC. I think we may have to go back on liaisons, but I think my personal view would be that, you know, council is those elected to the council. So liaisons probably sit outside of that, but that's something I'd have to check with my fellow councillors. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Rafiq.
Thanks, Heather. I think from a practical standpoint, as the council already spent time to discuss now for weeks and with all this work around the document, I think it makes sense that the council to work on the charter and the scoping, since we already like discussing this point, so we have that mean in term of information and our awareness, so that will help us also in with regard to the time constraint. So I support to have the council to work on this. So is it just subset or the whole council? I think maybe it makes sense to have the whole council. I cannot commit people, but at least that ensure that we all have the same level of understanding and awareness about the status of the work. So that's so we can communicate to our respective SCNC.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. So there have been a number of comments in the chat in support of Donna and Keith's response to Donna's comments about counselors being appointed. So my question is this: how can we to avoid, let's say, I think we want to make sure that we have a vehicle for developing the charter and the initiation request that is efficient, that's effective, that I don't think I have to say again that I'm not in at all interested in rushing this. I understand we have a timeline, but we need to do it properly. How can we capture input that wouldn't come through counselors? Donna.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. One of the discussions we had yesterday was the idea of repurposing the GDPR sessions in Panama to reflect some of the open questions that come out of the council meeting today. So one of them would be about scope. You know, what's the scope of the EPDP, and that would be a community session that with the intention that the output would feed into the charter drafting exercise. So that was one opportunity we felt was available to us to get that broader input. Of course, it puts a lot of pressure on us to be prepared to do that. But I think I think there's two sessions that are currently set aside for GDPR cross-community sessions, and I think it might be helpful if we could repurpose those with open items that come out of this meeting where we think input from the broader community would be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Just to clarify, would you envision that group would be, I am actually thinking about timeline here, would that group, would those sessions, so I agree that that's a useful use of those sessions. What I'm asking for clarification on is what exactly would that group, that be an opportunity to comment on? Would you have it in your mind, let's say in your discussions, was that commenting on a draft charter that had been put together, or was that input, so you've just said input into the outcomes of this call?
Sorry, Heather. What I was trying to say is as a result of this call, the council call, if there are if there are issues that we think there would be value in getting input from the community about, like the scope of this PDP, whether there should be more than one or things like that, maybe the Panama is an open, is a possibility to have that conversation. So, you know, I think in this case, you know, what the scope or what should fall within the EPDP and what sits outside it is probably one that's reasonable. So I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear, but it's not necessarily, yeah, I'm confusing myself now. So hopefully that answers your question. If not, I'll have another crack at it later.
All good, Donna. I get it. Thank you. And apologies for pushing. McKaylee.
Yeah, thanks, Kenneth Record. Yeah, I mean, the thing that we've been doing within the Contracted Parties House is we have our internal member mailing lists, plus we have specific mailing lists for dealing with various different aspects of the various pieces of work that we're dealing with. So we're able to collect and collate input from a more diverse group of contracted parties than those of us who are actually sitting on council. So I assume that other stakeholder groups are either doing that or would be in a position to do that. Thanks.
Yeah, McKaylee, I think it's a very good point. And Stephanie's put a comment in the chat about things that are out of scope. And Stephanie, I'm inclined to say, let's try and nail down what's in scope first. I don't mean to be facetious, but I think, you know, let's say we can try and draw a it's that old thing about what, you know, we know we don't know, and we don't know what we don't know, and so on and so forth. So I take your point, Stephanie. I think Donna's idea is an excellent one, that we repurpose that session in Panama. The RDS PDP has certainly given us license to utilize that time in the way that we think is most effective, and that enables some inclusiveness into this and enables some channeling in of positions. So I think that's very helpful. And Achille, I didn't mean to talk until you put your hand down. That wasn't my aim. Okay. So I get a sense that there's agreement then that we can repurpose that session. And may I ask maybe Natalie, is it possible, Natalie, so we'll want to communicate that change to that session to, let's say, give the community an opportunity to put that onto its calendars. Is that possible at this late stage, Natalie?
Thanks, Heather. This is Natalie. Given that those sessions are already slotted in, we have a time and date for them, the fact that they would be repurposed and have an updated description is not a problem at all. We can get that updated on the schedule and then swiftly this to the counselors and the SDCs.
That's super helpful, Natalie. Thank you. And, yes, Donna's corrected me quite helpfully. It's actually the two sessions that we're thinking about here. The ones that were identified for RDS. So, Susan, over to you.
Hi, Heather. This is Susan Calagucci for the record. Just wondering, are you which two sessions are we talking about repurposing, or both, or one? You know, as it was noted in, at least in the chat, one was proposed by the BC. So I'll need to go back to the BC and see what their standpoint is on that. I mean, the topic is GDPR for Panama, in my opinion. So I'm sure we could work it out, but I was wondering, are you talking about both sessions repurposing or one?
Donna, your hand's up. I'm going to let you take a crack.
Yes. Thanks, Heather, and thanks, Susan, for the question, and sorry for the confusion. So, from a contractor party's house, what we were suggesting is that there are currently two sessions, GDPR sessions on the Tuesday afternoon that are in the cross-community slots. They're the two that we're talking about potentially repurposing, and obviously they were suggested by the BC and the IPC, so there was some understanding that we'd have to get agreement on those. So they're the two that I'm talking about. There's also one on Thursday, which is a I'm scrolling through the agenda, which is more about an update from the council about what the next steps are. I think it makes sense that that stays as it is. The other thing that, Heather, we might need to think about if we do repurpose the sessions on Tuesday is that currently we have a placeholder in for RDS next steps on Tuesday earlier in the day. We might want to see if we can swap that out with one of the other PDPs on Wednesday, but that's the thinking that's in my head. So hopefully that clarifies it, Susan. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. So, look, I think in terms of the concerns that Susan has raised, I was thinking more about the RDS spot and maybe the update spot. I wouldn't want council to necessarily step in on a cross-community topic. I think for sure the comments that Susan and Paul have raised about going back are relevant here. And Susan, your hand's up. So over to you.
And I don't have the calendar in front of me, but it would make sense that maybe the next steps on the RDS spot would be the session to change. And I should know this, but I I can't remember. Is that RDS working group next steps, or does anybody know? Sorry.
Susan, it's Heather. I'm just, you know, it's clear as mud, I guess, at this stage. When that, as you can appreciate, the deadlines for those sessions happened some time ago, and we tried to anticipate, we tried to word things as generically as possible, knowing, you know, knowing what we knew at the time, which was that the RDS PDP leadership team had spoken about this with the working group, and it was determined that it wasn't prudent to have meetings at ICANN 62. We had already at that point had some time in the calendar for the RDS PDP. Each PDP was tracked into a day, essentially, to give it a full day's worth of discussion. So we've sort of cannibalized some of that time and still kept some of the high level, the descriptions very high level. And as Donna has noted in the chat, it was a placeholder, and we've been sort of tinkering with the descriptions on those placeholders over the time. And that's why I asked Natalie, is it still okay to tinker with descriptions? So your confusion is, you know, entirely appropriate on the titles of sessions, and sadly that was an intentional thing on our part because we just haven't had the jellyfish nailed to the wall. So hopefully that, and that's really only the case, I need to be very clear, clarify my clarification. That's the case for the GNSO sessions, Susan. It's not the case, I'm not making any suggestion in relation to high interest or cross-community topics. We don't have any sort of authority or control over those, which is why I say, to the extent that we're talking about doing something with a high interest topic or a cross community topic, that needs to go back to thanks, Keith. That needs to go back to those folks, the BC and the IPC. And Mary's made that comment loud and clear, and that really would go to the SOAC SGC leaders list for discussion there. So, you know, I would suggest we have in our back pocket other places in our own calendar where we can put this if needs be. And I think to Donna's point, if it needs to be that we repurpose that wrap-up, I would rather see us, the sort of summary that the council had planned at the end of the week, I would rather see us devote much of our council wrap-up session, the general one, to the sort of issues that we might otherwise have dealt with there. And go that way. So that gives us a backup. Rafiq, please.
Okay. Thanks, Heather. Sorry, I had some problem with Adobe Connect. I think it's a good idea to have these kind of to use this session and understand that we need to communicate. So, but just maybe to clarify, so we have that session on Thursday that was seen maybe as an update or rather. So if we can have like session in Tuesday and Thursday and also use the placeholder in the way in particular for the drafting team maybe to work to use those sessions as a kind of working session maybe. So we try between Tuesday and maybe later to get update from the community and some different groups, so we can have maybe clarity by Thursday and which steps we have to follow. So we try to use the full policy forum for that, and just trying to be clear about that, if it's the way we are trying to follow or just maybe misunderstanding the approach. So, sorry.
Thanks, Rafiq. I wonder, now Marika, I have a really rotten request. I wonder, are we able to show the GNSO calendar in the pod just so we can have absolute clarity on this? Brilliant. Okay. Now, let's be very, very clear about the sessions that we're talking about. So Marika's noting in the chat, the time that's currently available for the GNSO is 9 to 3 followed by two GDPR HIT sessions in the afternoon, and that is Tuesday. So you'll see the room shifts, right? Salon 8 is a closed meeting, 10:30, 12, 1:30, those blocks. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note on that first closed block, you know, that is open for the council to decide to change that. The way this was originally scheduled, and as you know, meeting session requests were due a long time ago, this was kind of in view of having the EPDP team formed and able to meet at ICANN 62, with the idea being that the first meeting would be a kind of, you know, get-to-know-each-other session that might need to be closed, just as it's a purpose of just getting to know each other and not any kind of broader discussions. So having said that, you know, it depends on how the council wants to organize those sessions, but of course you could decide to actually open up that meeting and just add it to the other three blocks that are currently reserved for that meeting. So I just wanted to share that. And that may then also mean that potentially the rooms are switched, so everything is in the same room. But again, that is up to the council to decide how you want to fill in those specific slots. You know, is there already a way for the EPDP team to be composed, or at least have an idea of how that would be formed, so people at least can get together and take advantage of the face-to-face time, or is this time that needs to be dedicated to further discussions by the council and or the drafting team to work on the charter and initiation request, or is there something else that should be this time should be used for?
Thanks, Marika. And apologies, I fumbled with mute. So I think there's an interesting point here. Paul, I'll get to you in 1 second. We do have here, if you like, the four placeholders, effectively those blocks, 9, 10:30, noon, and 1:30. And that could mean that we repurpose some of those for community and keep some of them for getting the team together, preferably community before getting the team together. And so that's an option available to us. And that would essentially give us, if you like, a GDPR day in the GNSO Council. The intention of running PDPs in days was to give that sort of full undivided attention to a particular topic. Paul.
Thanks, Paul McGrady. Just so that it's stated out loud, if you look at what's going on in the other parts of that day, are the IPC closed session and the IPC open meeting. So if we do this, just I assume we're not doing it to exclude the IPC, but just so you know, we'll take criticism for planning this during their meetings. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul, very much. And it's an opportune time to say that one of the things that Donna, Rafiq, and I are doing in the next 2 weeks is having a catch up with the various PDP teams. And I know that there's unhappiness about the overlaps. I know that there are conflicts in the schedule. I think what we need to get better at doing is working together, the council and the SGNC leaders, to make sure that when the draft goes to the SGNC leaders, that we explicitly note the conflicts and say, you know, this is the opportunity to not schedule a meeting around the conflicts. It's hard in a four-day policy forum. There's no way around that. So I think I take your point, Paul. What council leadership will be doing is reaching out to the SGNC leaders just to emphasize that, you know, it is the policy forum, and to the extent that folks can get away for PDP sessions, that's going to be best. We had that discussion in a planning session at the end of Puerto Rico about prioritizing policy development, and I specifically in that meeting made the point about, you know, council was going to dial back on its regular meetings to give the PDPs as much time as possible. But I think there's more work we can do downstream. So I take your point, Paul. So to the extent that I understand the conflicts there in that 9 o'clock spot, but we have 10:30, 12, and 1:30. I personally am of a view that those placeholders would be a better place to try and put our cross-community discussion, just because we don't have control over a cross-community discussion. And it's a bit late in the game to ask that to be changed. Donna.
Thanks, Heather. And notwithstanding everything you've just said, but I, you know, from a registry perspective, I think if we can have a conversation with the BC and IPC and see if there's some way that perhaps we could repurpose at least one of those cross-community sessions, it would be helpful. And I say that with the understanding that what we can't see on the schedule is that the GAC will be meeting, you know, they generally meet between 8 and 3 on Monday through Thursday. Same with the CCNSO, same with the ALAC. So while we're trying to shift things around here to accommodate the GNSO, there are the other groups sitting out there that are not necessarily included on this schedule. So we should be mindful of that. So I think if we want true community input to potentially what the scoping looks like, then we need to understand that the ALAC and the GAC and the CCNSO and potentially others meet during that 8 to 3 o'clock slot. So we need to be, hopefully we can find a way to be a little bit flexible and perhaps, you know, have a session that's actually in the primarily non-conflicted spot. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And Susan's asked a question about scheduling an evening meeting. And Susan, I'll say we've had a bit of a battle in, I actually think it's sort of squeaked through the formal process. The evening sessions that we do have, council prep and the MSSI thing, that's been pretty hard fought. And to the extent that I'm speaking out of turn, Natalie will correct me here, but I think scheduling an evening meeting would be really difficult to do. Not to mention the fact that if what we're talking about here is an opportunity to get the community input, I wouldn't suggest that that's the most efficacious way to get community input by running an evening session on a four-day meeting. And Marika, I'm always willing to meet at the bar. So there you go. All right, so just noting the comments on this, we need to take that back as a as an action item. Let's raise questions with the BC and the IPC. That should happen on the SGC SOAC leaders list. We can reach out to them one-on-one to start with and see, you know, where we get to, and if not, then we need to have in our back pocket these other blocks in our schedule. Yeah? Everyone happy with that? Okay. So it's been very helpful to have the ICANN 62 schedule in front of us. Any further questions on that before we come back to – actually, you know what, let's leave the schedule. Question for everyone. So to the extent that we have come to the view that the council as a whole is effective and efficient in terms of the charter and initiation request drafting exercise, what time in this schedule do we want to carve out for charter and initiation drafting? I would suggest that closed session is an obvious one to the extent that we want it closed. It's an obvious one for difficulty in that we know we have some conflicts there. But the fact that we have the whole council, let's say, we could potentially delegate one versus the, you know, one go to one and one go to the other. I'm just trying to think about a way to use the time most effectively. How much time do we want to put down to charter and initiation request drafting in Panama? I personally think that the face-to-face time can be particularly valuable. So we're all on the team. We need to figure out when to meet. Yeah, and Marika is asking, do we want to do that in an open setting or council only? That's a very good question. I mean, to the extent that we're able to build in this community feedback process, I can see a response either way to Marika's question, that we have that opportunity to gather input from the community in that dedicated session that we put our heads down and work and have input into it. So Cheryl's suggesting in the chat that open to observers might be a good idea. I mean, I think in principle, to the extent that we can have discussions open, that's a good thing. You know, we want to work effectively, but not secretly. I don't see any reason for that, personally. And Paul's saying open setting. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have legitimacy issues to the extent that we close it. So I'm seeing all kinds of comments for open to observers, and then we'll have that dedicated community session as well. Does that make sense, everyone? Multiple attendees are typing, but nobody's screaming. Natalie, can we make a note then, at a minimum, let's take the closed off of that placeholder session, please, so that we communicate that all of those sessions are open? Thank you. And so we could go ahead and refine these placeholders now, and rather than just say placeholder RDS next steps, we could put down here EPDP if we wanted to make that more clear. Does that make sense to everyone? Donna?
I think we probably need to be sensitive to just saying EPDP. It should be council, perhaps initiation and charter discussion, because the EPDP, it won't be the EPDP working group, so we need to be sensitive to that, how we categorize it, I think.
Well, that makes sense, Donna. That makes sense. So we have an open session, and we have GNSO Council drafting of initiation request and charter. So we can change all of those placeholders on Tuesday to that. Now back to the question, do we want to take one of those placeholders? Note that they're each 90 minutes. Do we want to take one of those placeholders and turn it around for community input? Or two? I guess we need to have the discussion with the IPC and the BC yet, but Donna.
Yeah, I think, Heather, let's. It might make sense to get through the rest of our discussion here, and then we'll have a sense of what we need to find time for. So maybe this is something that we're going to have to work on via the email list, put a few suggestions to the council list and see what we come up with. I think we're doing a little bit of chicken and egg here at the moment. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. That's fair.
Michaeli. Yeah, I tend to agree with Donna. I mean, and also some of the comments in the chat. I mean, getting input, I think, is important. If we can repurpose one of these high-interest cross-community things, that would probably be a better use of time, because, well, personally, I find a lot of these cross-community high-interest things to be pointless, because it's just a restating of people's stances, so I don't think it's particularly helpful, whereas if we're actually using it as an interactive, give us your input and we can take that away, then that might actually be more beneficial. Thanks.
Thanks, Michaeli. Susan.
Michaeli, I'm highly offended that you would think a BC session would be pointless. But anyway, just joking.
A BC session was for any of them. I don't care who asked for it. Even if the registrars asked for it, I would still have a problem with it.
Okay. So one of my concerns is if we have working sessions all, you know, most of Tuesday, we won't have time to sort of stop and synthesize what we've done and prepare for a cross-community session that afternoon. And Aiden did point out there's another high-interest topic session on Thursday afternoon. we might be better prepared after, you know, and relieve the stress on staff to sort of take what we've worked on, make sure everybody agrees and has a chance to, you know, see some sort of document come out of that, and then have the session on Thursday with the community for input.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. So that's a fair point, too. Look, I think Donna's made a very valid point. We're sort of circling around here, and I think we probably have a few more steps before we can resolve this. I was pushing only because the sooner we get the schedule clear, the less complaint we're going to have that, oh, I didn't know that that's what that meeting was and it was changed last minute. So there's a fair amount of pressure on staff, I will say. It's helpful to note. They do an amazing job. There's a fair amount of pressure on them to, again, try and nail the jellyfish, and that's us, nail us to the wall on these sorts of things. So I'm pushing on their behalf, I suppose. Let's come at this from another way. Can I suggest, would it be possible for us to meet, not in the form of council, let's say not another extraordinary council meeting, but those who wanted and were able to early next week to try and get some sort of a discussion happening on charter and initiation drafting before we all get on planes? Would that be helpful? Would that not be helpful? So helpful, Susan says. McKaylee's around early next week. Is there anyone that objects? Okay, lots of good ideas. That's cool. I personally think it would be pretty helpful if we just had a discussion with, you know, the actual charter and initiation request in mind. What we could do is after this call, perhaps Marika, it would be helpful just to put it at the top of everybody's inbox. That original, and now I have to think about what that document was called, that original document that went around that had the list of things that needed to go into the initiation request. I know it was on the slides from the webinar, but I think in our original document that got circulated, we had a list of things to go into the initiation request. That could get people thinking as soon as this call ends. And then we could have a call and start to actually formulate our thinking around the actual requirements of that document. Is that cool? Cool. That's brilliant, Marika. Thank you. So then we'd have a call at the end, and of course some of it's captured here in Marika's, or a lot of it's captured here in Marika's in mind map, but that would give us an opportunity, let's say, to go away and think about, get some input from SGs and Cs, think about what needs to go into that initiation request. And you'll remember from that webinar or Q&A session that we had with the SG and C leaders that the aim of that really, it was some, you know, nuts and bolts questions around composition of the team and leadership and so on. That those are questions that, you know, are going to need to be answered by us working together as this drafting team. And staff has put together a template that would be is super helpful, Marika, to the extent that we could start with a template and get a sense of what's in that document. I think that would be really helpful. I'm back to a question raised earlier. How do we want to run this initiation request and charter drafting team? Do you want council leadership to take the lead on that and push us along? Does anyone in particular want to put their hand up for it? I bear absolutely no offense if someone would, you know, put up their hand. Likewise, I'm happy to stay in the role and continue to push. When no one's screaming, we can take that back to SGs and Cs and have a think about that. I think having some sort of a responsible party just to keep an eye on things isn't a bad idea, given that we're working the timing. So in the meantime, you know, council leadership will continue to do what it's doing, answering action items and pushing along. Okay. open floor, we've accomplished a tremendous amount in an hour and 40 minutes, taking stock of where we are now. Anyone, comments, questions, concerns? No. Kaylee.
Thanks, Heather. Now, I think we're making some progress here. I'm not sure at what juncture we want to address a couple of items around things like such as membership of the EPDP itself, and also Aidan's suggestion around setting baselines of knowledge. Thanks.
Yeah, Michele, it's a very good point. And Martin, before I turn to you, I'll say those are questions that would have to be answered in the context of initiation requests and charter drafting. And I think the question is, do we want to use the remaining portion of this call for that? Do we want to walk away and get some advice from SGs and CEs, or what do we want to do? And, oh, Martin, I didn't mean to scare you off. Michele.
Heather, Michele for the record again. Just so that so it's clear, the contracted parties have spent quite a bit of time discussing both the entire membership composition, et cetera, of the working groups. And also, we have also discussed the requirements in terms of knowledge. So, I mean, I think both myself and the other contracted party councillors are more than happy to have that conversation now, if that's helpful.
Thanks, Michele. So let's just make a call for comments on that, and we'll see how we go. Paul?
My comment on it is it's premature. This is outside of the scope of having those dedicated sessions to take a look at these. I don't want to start hiving off, specific issues to be dealt with in a vacuum. Without taking a look at the entire charter process as a whole. If we are all going to go down this path this morning, I'll put my hand back up later and express some substantive comments, but I think we would be better off to do this in an orderly way, just to take up this issue along with all the other issues when we take up all the other issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Stephanie, I note your comment in the chat. We'll go to Martin, and then we'll pick up your comment. Martin.
Sure. Hello. I hope you can hear me. I just wanted to open up Michelle's comment. I've been looking around for ideas on how to level the playing field of knowledge around the EPDP. And I found particularly useful one of the International Association of Privacy Professionals, the IAPP, Get GDPR Ready. It's a course you can look into online. I think it would be great if ICANN could provide that course for the ICANN community. It's a very expensive course, but at least I think that it's a very good course that is certified, and that would definitely give people working on this a level of training that is not just awareness. It's like 20 hours online. It's long enough that it's actually meaningful to work with, but it's not long that it's undoable or just too burdensome. I'm going to post probably an email list on the General Council list, but I want to comment here that I think this course could be a way to really make a difference of members to work with in the EPDP.
Okay, thanks, Martin. And Paul, before we jump to you, just so we don't lose Stephanie's comment. Stephanie, just to be very, very clear, is it the case that you'd want to get clarification back from the board? What I suggest we do is we need to go back to that document and look at the questions, look at the notes that were taken by Marika. I haven't looked at them in the course of this call, and see what it says there about picket fence, and then potentially would you suggest following up with the board on that point, or is that something that you want us to discuss here? Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. Stephanie Farron for the record. I do think that it probably merits a discussion here at Council, because I suspect that we have different views as to what's inside that picket fence and what isn't. I mean, let's be clear. This is the first thorough at details of the specs in the contract in years. We've been operating without a proper privacy policy. So some of the things that some may consider to be picket fence, some of us may disagree. Then we may view them as policy items. That's my view anyway.
Thanks, Stephanie. So discussion here. Susan's put into the chat the RDS working group charter, which has guidance on the picket fence issues. Hey, Paul, I haven't forgotten you. Comments on the picket fence. Or do we want to walk away and read the so I guess, Stephanie, my question for you would be, is this a discussion that we have in the context of initiation request and charter drafting, let's say, when we're developing the scope? Do we have that discussion then after we've had a chance to read the RDS charter and think about this?
Stephanie Farron again. Yes, my worry is that we will overlook an issue or lump it in as picket fence and then discover later that it ought to have been discussed in the EPDP. Have I got that right? EPDP? No, that's in the expedited PDP. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. And Rubens has noted in the chat, ICANN.org's description of what's in the picket fence or not in a temporary spec would be a good starting point. Do others agree that that would be useful? No, Susan says. Susan, do you want to follow up on your comments? Give us some context. Okay, to Susan's point, Susan says no because we have to address the accreditation and access. Would that be precluded by asking org for a description of what's in the fence and what is outside? Okay, Susan's fine with asking org. Okay, anyone object to asking org? We can use that as a starting point. And I'll do my best to emphasize it if we can get any sort of response on that, by our next call. I'll make an effort to do that as a starting point. Understood. Okay, so we'll note that as an action item as well to follow up in relation to follow up with the board on the org's point of view of what's in the fence and what's out. And Natalie, could we ask, please, for your help in running a doodle for a call for early next week? Let's try and make it before Wednesday APAC time, if we possibly can do, because I start flying on Wednesday. Actually, I'm only on a short flight, so maybe we can make it Thursday morning APAC time. Run as many options as we can, because it's short notice, and that would be very helpful. If you're willing to do that for us, Natalie. Thanks. Paul, over to you. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
No problem, Paul. Paul McGrady here for the record. And I think this is somewhat formalistic at this point, but, I said if we were going to go down the path of talking about the membership issues in a vacuum, that I'd raise my hand again. I wanted to make good on that promise. Basically, to refer everybody to my responsive email on the list to Aiden, which I don't think I got a response back from. Sorry if I did and I overlooked it. But the bottom line is, at this point, I don't think we should be looking for reasons and processes to exclude people from participating based upon whether or not there's an IAPP certification. For the same issues, we on the trademark side have always been amazed by what appears to be a basic lack of understanding of the trademark issues, which are the counterpoint to all of this, of course. I think it would be great if Aiden would take me up on my suggestion that he and I work with staff to develop curriculum for the first couple of meetings of the whatever EPDP working group is formed to get everybody on the same page in terms of vocabulary for both privacy issues and the underpinning trademark issues. I think that's a better route. It's more inclusive. It's designed to bring people in, rather than designed to exclude anybody. If we go down the exclusion route and require an AIPP certification to participate, then I think it would make sense to have the corresponding set of education materials as well on the trademark issues. Hopefully INTA would be prepared to put together a program on that. We could certainly ask. I think that's all a whole lot formulistic and not very inclusive. I'd rather us try to find ways to shoehorn people into the process and make sure we have a common vocabulary before we begin, rather than trying to find a way to, make sure people can't participate. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Aiden.
Thanks, Heather. Hi, everyone. Aiden Godlin for the record, and thanks to your comments there, Paul. And the intention of my suggestion on the mailing list was not to exclude anyone. It was simply to ensure that we have a baseline level of knowledge amongst all of the participants. And I don't think it is unreasonable to expect that, given that we have essentially 78 days to get an initial report ready. And I'm just not seeing the relevance of trademark law to an EPDP. Maybe I'm missing it. But I think that this whole issue has come about because of a need to align the WHOIS with data protection law. One other comment I would make: I would prefer that we have something that is delivered by a neutral third party. I don't think I would be in a position myself, and I don't think others in the community would be either, to be able to put forward a GDPR 101 session in a neutral manner. I'd like to think I could, but I think it is better to go to an external party and to have that done. We're not looking for anything extensive. We're looking for, 3 to 4 hours just to say that you have the most basic knowledge that there is of the issues. I'm sure you would not argue the First Amendment without having read it first. That's all this is about, making sure that people know the very basic vocabulary, the most basic level of knowledge that there is. Nothing more. Certainly not looking to exclude anyone. And I also noted in my email, if someone does not possess this certificate just yet, I can't pay for it. So it's not a barrier to participation at all. Thanks.
Thanks, Aiden. McKaylee.
Thanks, McKaylee, for the record. So we're going to have one of those rare moments where I agree with almost everything that Aiden says. Aiden, don't get used to it. I think what some people seem to be seeing here is the opposite of what Aiden, myself, and others feel. I mean, what we're talking about here is that when people engage in this EPDP, the people who will actually be active, contributing members of the group will have baseline knowledge and understanding of privacy, of GDPR. If the IPC feels that there is a requirement to have an understanding of trademarks, that's fine. Though I do disagree with the way Paul is characterizing trademarks as if they were the opposite of privacy. Considering that privacy is meant to be for the benefit of consumers, and that the IPC and BC constantly argue that a lot of their work is to protect consumers, I do find that characterization rather strange. Thanks.
Thanks, McKaylee. Paul.
Thanks. Just to correct the record, Paul McGrady here. I'm not suggesting, of course, that trademarks are the opposite of privacy. What I'm suggesting is that if there were no abuses of domain names, we wouldn't be having this discussion because there wouldn't be any need to have underlying WHOIS information. And so that trademark abuse just happens to be the kind of abuse that I'm focused on. There are other kinds of abuse for sure. And how we balance out a fuzzy law like GDPR, which is not clear, and everybody admits that it's not clear, in relationship to providing underlying WHOIS information in order to deal with abuse, that's the issue. And it's definitely important to have a baseline understanding of those kinds of abuses. All right. it's definitely important to have a baseline understanding of those kinds of abuses, just like I think it would be useful to have a baseline understanding of what people believe the GDPR says. Aiden, I respect the fact that you don't think you could do that in a neutral way, but I remain willing to work with anybody on this council who's willing to cooperate with staff to get some basic, 101 type information together, so that we can be as inclusive as possible and not attempt to use certifications or such things like that to, exclude participation. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. And Tatiana, I really appreciate that. So, Stephanie, let's cut the queue with you. It's 3 minutes till the end of our call. And we will remember, Tatiana, that you get to speak first when we next run our call. So thanks very much for your patience. Stephanie, over to you.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin. McKaylee has raised an important point, I think, and far be it from me to underestimate the importance of training. Training is important. We don't have enough time to bring people up to the level, possibly, that might be required here. The things that plagued us on the RDS working group was a lack of goodwill to actually read documents. Staff, management, leadership did an excellent job compiling all kinds of documents, and some of us read them. And we were plagued continually by folks who refused to read them. And I really would not want to have this happen again on the expedited PDP. We need a way to ensure commitment, and we need to be able to sanction folks in a more rigorous manner when they clearly are not participating. And just in response to Paul, privacy is not fuzzy. It is deeply contextual, and that is why it appears to be fuzzy. We need to get at the details. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. So what I suggest we do is we can continue with this thread and any of the threads we've picked up on the list. Natalie is going to run a doodle for us. Just bear in mind, to be very clear here, we're not holding another council meeting. We're simply calling all councils together as now the drafting team of the charter and initiation request drafting team, let's say. And we can pursue these issues and more when we come back together. And Tatiana will have first say in that meeting if she would prefer to do that. So perfectly fine. Any final comments on this? Stephanie, your hand's still up, old hand?
Old hand,
gotcha.
Sorry.
Cool, thanks. So that leaves us with some pretty significant action items out of this meeting. We've done a great deal in a fairly short period of time, although I understand it's a collective effort of all the steps that have taken us to get to this point. It'll be pretty significant when we communicate agreement in principle to the board that we're pursuing the path of an EPDP, and we'll start to refine these RDS sessions in Panama and see what we can do there. So folks are losing audio bridge. It looks like we've had trouble with the bridge, which is interesting because I'm still on the bridge. If you can start sharing your thoughts on some of the topics in the charter and initiation request document, that would be great. Start sharing some ideas on the list. Marika, if you haven't already done so, if you could send us around that draft charter or template charter, that would be brilliant. That would be super helpful, and that will help to formulate our thinking. Any final comments, questions, concerns? Marika, Donna, Rafiq, have I missed anything? No, all good. Donna, please.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. I agree. We've made some good progress, but we still have some substantive things to discuss as well, like the composition of the PDP working group. So I think it's important that to the extent that folks can discuss that on the mailing list, I think that would be really helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna, very much. And to the point that Michaeli made, I understand that you know, contracted parties have already discussed that, so the rest of us can catch up if we need to. Thanks very much, everyone. Great call, and Natalie will send around that doodle, so we'll be in touch again next week. In the meantime, have a lovely weekend, and talk to you then. This concludes our call. You can stop the recording, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. This concludes today's call. You may stop the recording, operator, and disconnect the line. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. Goodbye.